The following is a lecture at the Lighthouse, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 21st, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So this is a type of meditation. It is called Sankirtan. It's a congregational meditation. In other words, you can meditate alone, or you can meditate in a group. But when you meditate in a group, you get synergy. Or more accurately, you get spiritual synergy. So I have been asked to speak tonight about spirituality, fact or fiction or necessity. So we hear a lot of talk today about spirituality. Is this simply some hot air, or does it have actual substance? And if it is real, do we need it? So that's what we'll talk about tonight. So the first point is, there's more to reality than meets the eye. For example, can you see infrared rays? Can you see ultraviolet rays? Your eyes cannot perceive these. But your scientific instruments can do that. The point is, there's a lot out there beyond even what our scientific instruments can perceive. And another point is this. There's another scientific instrument available to everyone, which is more powerful than any modern-day scientific instrument. That instrument is called consciousness. Everybody has it. But practically no one knows how to use it. It's just like everybody has the potential to be able to swim. But unless you're taught, you'll panic if somebody throws you in the water. Unless you're taught how to swim and somebody throws you in the river, you'll panic. You won't know what to do. So just as you can learn how to swim and then live and then move very effectively through the water, you can also learn how to swim with your consciousness and move very effectively through the higher levels of atmosphere. You may say, well, what, is it really worth even thinking about it? But if you analyze the difference between the lower spheres of consciousness and the higher spheres of consciousness, it will be very clear that it's very much worth it learning how to fly in the higher spheres of consciousness. In the lower sphere, what do you got? You got your body, composed of material elements. Of course, the human body is a very wonderful creation, there's no doubt. It's a very amazing thing, the human body. But in spite of all its amazing features, it has certain features which are not very desirable. Birth itself is extremely painful. It's sickness. Who wants to get sick? Nobody likes to get sick. And then you have to get old. What does getting old mean? Means you get sick more often. So who wants to get old? And what does old also mean? It means you are closer to death. Does anyone like to die? This little girl immediately shook her head, no. Very good. Anybody volunteer to die right now? Not really, you're bluffing. If we brought a knife and put it at your throat, you'd cry. You would definitely cry and start screaming. So, these problems are built into this material body. Now I ask you to logically analyze this point I'm going to make. If your only existence was this bodily plane of consciousness, on which birth, death, old age, and disease are unavoidable, why would you object to these things? You see, if that was the full extent of our identity, then it wouldn't bother us. It's natural. No one would care. It's okay, no big deal. But yet, we don't like it when we get sick. We immediately go to the drugstore and get some medicine. We don't like it when we get old. We immediately go out and get some dye and hide the gray hair. You see? So we want not to have to go through these things. Because actually the self, the true identity, exists on a higher plane than the body. That plane is the spiritual plane. So the art of meditation enables one to transcend the lower bodily plane and situate oneself on the higher spiritual plane. That spiritual plane is actually pretty ecstatic. On that plane, there's no birth. There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no old age. These miseries of material existence are conspicuous by their absence on the spiritual plane. They're not present on the spiritual plane. So, one may ask, well, how do you know then? Well, it's like saying, how do you know that the Eiffel Tower is there in Paris? You can go there and see it. So you can confirm, you can personally confirm that the Eiffel Tower is in Paris by going there and seeing it. In the same way, you can personally confirm the transcendental identity of the self beyond birth, death, old age, and disease. By going to that transcendental plane and personally experiencing it yourself. So how do you get to the transcendental plane? The spiritual plane. How do you get to Paris? Go to the airport, you hop on an airplane. You fly to Paris. So in the same way, there's an airplane that will take you to the spiritual plane. That airplane is called Mantra Vimana in Sanskrit. Mantra airplane. That's what we're doing in the beginning. I wanted to give you a little taste of it before we talked about it. By absorbing your consciousness in mantra, you take off just like in an airplane. Not only beyond the Earth atmosphere, but beyond the entire atmosphere of this whole material universe. You can hop in a regular airplane and go up to 30,000 feet. We can go 3 billion miles and even higher by Mantra Vimana. Totally beyond this whole material universe. So how does mantra work? Mantras are coming down from the... Actually, the mantras have been imported here. There was a great sage named Narad Muni. He became fully liberated spaceman. He could travel, he still today doing this. He's traveling freely between the spiritual worlds and the material world. He developed the power to travel anywhere at will, with no restrictions. He doesn't need an airplane. He doesn't need a spaceship. Just by his desire, he can go anywhere he wants to within no time at all. So, seeing our pitiful condition here on the earthly planet, how we're caught up in so many miserable conditions, this great sage, Narada Muni, being compassionate upon us, delivered to us a mantra, an airplane that will take us out of this place. This is called the Mahamantra. Mantra is a Sanskrit word. Man means mind. Tra means deliver. So a mantra is a sound vibration which delivers the mind from all the entanglements of material existence. There are actually many, many mantras given in the Vedas. But of all the mantras, this mantra is the most powerful and the most effective mantra. That's why this mantra is called Mahamantra. So by chanting this Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with sincerity and focus, one will feel how he's being lifted beyond this material plane of consciousness. You can do it in a group song meditation, as we were doing. In Sanskrit, a group song meditation is called kirtan. Or you can do it as your own private meditation. You can softly utter it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You notice that I am uttering it. I don't recommend just thinking it silently within your mind. Of course, there is benefit to think it silently within your mind. But in this age, our minds are very disturbed. We're constantly worried about money, we're worried about our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our husband, our kids. So many anxieties are in the mind all the time. So it's difficult to keep the mind focused if you just do a silent meditation. So if you will actually utter it and concentrate on getting each syllable distinctly chanted and heard, then you'll find it's very easy, especially in the early morning, to do a very, very good meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You'll find it's very easy. And you'll experience that spiritual plane of consciousness. And the more you do this on a daily basis, the more you will experience it. It will grow every day, it will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You become more peaceful, more happy, more enlightened, more knowledgeable, more powerful in determination, and you'll have more feelings of love and compassion for all living creatures. That's a very important thing, will help you. Practice compassion. Therefore, we recommend a vegetarian diet. Because if you eat murder, then it murders your consciousness. Meat means murder. Not in almost every case, they murder the animals in the slaughterhouse. So if you eat murder, you're murdering your own consciousness. So the great sages recommend that we offer vegetarian food to the Lord before eating. In that way, the food becomes full of love. If we offer it with love to the Lord before we eat, then that food becomes surcharged with love. So what would you rather eat, love or murder? If we eat love, then you become full of light. If you eat murder, you become full of darkness. And the vegetarian diet is cheaper also. So this doesn't cost as much money, and it's more delicious also. The doctors are encouraging everybody to reduce their meat eating, because meat is not very healthy. It's also very bad for the environment. If we were to take all the grains that are being fed to the cattle to fatten them up for the slaughterhouse, and feed those grains directly to human beings, we could feed 10 times more people than we can feed now with this meat-eating diet. And if we go to a vegetarian diet on this planet, there'll be no more hunger anywhere. Everybody will be very well fed. In every country of the whole world, everybody will be very well fed. So by engaging in daily mantra meditation, and adopting a diet of compassion instead of a diet of merger, you will feel a tremendous difference in your consciousness. And you will enter into a truly spiritual life. You may think, well then how can I make a living if I become so spiritual? How will I make money? How will I function in a competitive world if I become so peaceful and loving? The answer is, actually you become quite successful. In the great text known as the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was a warrior about ready to enter into a big, big battle. This battle was known as the Battle of Kurukshetra. It was a true world war being fought 5,000 years ago. That would determine the fate of the entire planet. It would determine the future of the entire planet. So Arjuna thought, I can't handle this. I just want to go off somewhere and meditate and forget about doing my warrior's duties. It's too heavy, I can't take it. But Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was there with Arjuna on the battlefield. And he told them that actually you should go ahead and do your professional duty. But do it as an offering to me. Don't do it for some material purpose. So the point is that any profession you may have, whatever you're doing now, you can continue to do. But instead of doing it for a material purpose, you can do that same thing for a spiritual purpose. Whether it's getting an education, raising a family, pursuing a career, whatever you're doing. You continue to do that. But don't do it for material purpose. Do it for a spiritual purpose. And then you can, that will help you. That will become a part of your meditation. In other words, a truly spiritual person is meditating 24 hours a day. He or she does his or her mantra meditation in the early morning. But then that's with the mind and the lips and the ears. But then that person will engage his or her body in physical meditation of, it's called karma yoga. Throughout the day you take your tendency to act and you offer that to God. In that way your daily activities also become an act of meditation. Whether you're a doctor or a fireman or whatever you may be, security guard at an airport, an airline pilot, whatever you may be. I know one airline pilot, he chants Hare Krishna. I'd like to have him flying my airplane whenever I fly, but he works for a different airline than when I fly on.
Mm.
So we recommend this process. And then you have to decide whether it's really necessary or not. If you don't mind getting sick, getting old and dying, then you don't really need it. If you don't mind having, you know, being over, having problems with lust, with anger, with greed, with madness, illusion, and envy, then you don't need it. You don't need spiritual life. If you don't mind getting old and dying, all these things. But if you would like to have an eternal life that's full of bliss, full of knowledge, with a mind that's peaceful, full of compassion, full of unlimited knowledge, a consciousness that is spiritually enlightened like Buddha. If you would like to have such a consciousness, then you have to get into spirituality. You have to. Because you're not going to get it anywhere else. You won't get it by working out in the gym. Of course, you can do that. There's no harm if you work out in the gym, but working out your body only is not enough. That's the point. More important than working out in the gym, I think there's one downstairs. I thought I saw one downstairs. More important is working out your consciousness. By meditating every day, you see. Now, I've introduced this Hare Krishna mantra to you. You may say, but I'm a Christian, I don't want to chant that. Or I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a Muslim, I don't want to chant that. I mean, that's okay then. You chant the name of God according to your own scripture. If you're a Muslim, you can chant Allah. If you're a Christian, you can chant the name of Christ. We're not introducing a particular religion. We are teaching you the principle of spirituality, which pervades all the religions if they are practiced correctly. But the big problem in the world today is there's so many religions, but there's hardly any spirituality. They've turned the religion into material institutions. You see, that's the problem. Where is the spirituality in the churches, the synagogues, the temples, and the mosques? You see? The spirituality is not there. So we, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are trying to bring the spirituality back to every religious field in the world. We are not saying that you should, you know, join our Hare Krishna movement. No, we're not saying that. Whatever religion you belong to, that's great. Now become a true spiritualist within your own religion. That's what we're saying. And what does it mean to be a true spiritualist? The first thing you have to affirm is this principle. And to affirm it, you have to understand it clearly. The first thing you have to affirm is this. I am not this body. Now, this is actually the big stumbling block in the world today. The false identification with the material body is the prime cause of every single problem in the world today. The politicians have not figured it out yet. And we hope they will hear us. This lecture will be posted on the internet. And we're hoping that all the prime ministers and the presidents will tune in to the internet to hear this lecture. Because this understanding of I am not this body, but am instead an eternal spiritual being. If this is widely understood throughout the entire human society, then there will be perfect peace on this planet. The terrorism problem will be solved. The crime problem will be solved. People become more healthy. Prosperity will come. Everything will come. We're putting our energy into the wrong place. We're putting too much energy into these bodies. Because we think, I am this body. I am a man. Or I am a woman. I'm American. I am Mexican. I am Russian. I am this and then. So this is a big problem. We are misidentifying ourselves with these material bodies. This is the root cause of every single problem and anxiety going on in the world today. So how do we affirm this principle within our own consciousnesses? We have to understand how it is that we are not these bodies. So if you make a simple analysis of your own life, you can understand easily that you are not your body. So what is your body? It's a bag of so many chemicals. Do those chemicals remain the same? No, they're constantly changing. At every moment, the old blood corpuscles are dying off. And new blood corpuscles are taking their place. There is a constant flux of chemicals through this body. So where are the chemicals of your little, you know the word toddler? I think a little baby, yeah. Where are the chemicals of your little baby's body? Do you have any of them? No, they're gone. Long time ago, those chemicals are completely gone. But yet, you can remember experiences you had when you were a little child. So, what does this tell us? This tells us that the self and the body are two different things. The body is the vehicle, and you are the driver. Actually, the self is seated in the heart of this body. That's where the heart gets all that energy from. Do you know how hard that heart is working? 24 hours a day, pump, 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 constantly working. Where does your heart get all that energy? It gets it from what in Sanskrit is called the Atma, which is the actual self. That self is spiritual. And that self has a connection with the Supreme Self or God. Who is the ultimate powerhouse. So you are getting huge amounts of energy to keep that heart pumping for 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
kad palaikyti šitą širdies plakimą.
Today I'm wearing this shirt. Tomorrow I may wear a different shirt.
Šiandieną dėviu šitus marškinius, kitą dieną galbūt kitus dėvės.
But in spite of my changing my shirt, I'm still the same person.
Nepaisant to, kad keičiu savo rūbus, esu tas pats asmuo.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, it is very nicely described by Lord Sri Krishna. Dehi nos minyata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir diris tatra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change.
Lygiai taip, kaip siela keliauja iš kūdikystės į jaunystę ir senatvę, lygiai taip, siela iš vieno kūno pereina į kitą.
So we're constantly changing bodies, you see. But the driver is the same. Just like every few years we get a new car. We drive a car until it's so old and worn down, it just doesn't, not worth keeping it. We buy a new car, you see. But you are the same driver. Simply the car has changed. So your body is the car. And you are the driver. The difficulty is this. When the driver thinks, I am the car, that's called illusion. So at the present moment, we are in a state of illusion. I am thinking, I'm a male. You are thinking, you are a male or you are female. You
see?
This is called illusion. This illusion brings confusion. And because we want to live forever and we're forced to die, on the body's forced to die, it brings great anxiety. So how is it that we are so foolish to identify with this body? Have you ever been driving down the highway in your car? And you look over the gasoline gauge and it says empty. And you go, oh no, I'm running out of gas. You ever had that experience? But I ask you this, are you running out of gas? Or is your car running out of gas? But we think, oh no, I am running out of gas. So in the same way we misidentify with our car when it's running out of gas. In the same way we misidentify with this material body. And we think it's me. So the very first point, if you want to become spiritually enlightened, if you want to live a life of bliss and happiness that never goes away in any situation, the very first point is you have to always remember, I am not this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being, quality, one with God. So, I can ask now if there's any questions.
Dabar norėčiau paklausti, kokių iškilo jums klausimų.
Kas buvo tie išminčiai, kuriuos Narada Muni sutiko vaikystėje ir kokią jis naudą gavo bendraudamas su nušvitusiu asmenybe?
Kas minėjo tą šventą asmenybę, kurį jis atnešė Krishna mantrą ir vaikystėje jis buvo sutikęs tam tikrus išminčius ir koks klausimas?
Kas buvo tie išminčiai? Kokią naudą jis gavo
bendraudamas su tais išminčiais? Kas buvo tie išminčiai ir kokias gavo naudą bendraudamas su tais išminčiais? The Narada Muni was young. He has contact with saintly persons.
Narada Muni. Yeah.
He was young. He was in contact with saintly persons. So what benefit he get from that, and who was these persons?
Yes, the great sage Narada Muni got contact with saintly persons in his previous life. They were called the Bhaktivedantas. They were a group of very highly elevated sages. And they were staying nearby in the forest, nearby where the little boy lived. So, he would regularly go to that forest, he would hear their discourses. And he would get the remnants of their food. If they left something on their plate, he would take that leftover food. If you eat from the plate of somebody who has some disease, you will catch that disease. And similarly, if you can give the remnants of the plate of a great saintly person, then by eating those remnants, you will get spiritual enlightenment. So the boy heard the discourses, he also got the remnants from their plates, and this way he became a spiritually enlightened person. He had a direct vision of God. And in his next life he became the great sage Narada Muni. Any other questions? Yeah.
Klausimas, ar siela turi formą? Does soul has a form?
The question is, does the soul have a form? The answer is this, yes. Just like now you're wearing a coat.
Dabar jūs dėvite paltą.
Your coat is made in the same shape as your body.
Ir jis padarytas tokioje pat formoje kaip jūsų kūnas.
The body is also a coat.
Kūnas irgi yra jūsų rūbas.
It covers the soul. Because the soul also has a spiritual body with two arms, two legs, etc. So these material bodies that we have, they are replicas of our original spiritual bodies. The difference is, this material body gets sick, gets old and dies. And for the spiritual body, there's no birth, no sickness, no old age, and no death. Nothing different. So both have form. But this, the spiritual one is very good, and the material one is not so good. Any other question? Yes.
Aš norėčiau, kaip litvanistas pirmiausia pareikšti susižavėjimą, kad krišnaistai vartoja indų kalbą. Ir mes žinom, kad lietuviai yra kilę iš indų būtent. Aš kaip litvanistė šitai sakau. Dabar noriu pasakyti kelias pastabas ir duoti du klausimus. Dabar krišnaistai pripažįsta, kad erdvėje yra tik tai Dievas, sielų, ir ten egzistuoja sielos. O krikščioniškoje religija pripažįsta, kad ten yra rojus, yra skaistykla, yra pats Dievas taip pat. Tai krišnaistų teorija ir mūsų katalikų tikėjimas yra va to priešinga. Tai tokia mano viena pastaba.
Po truputį, nes aš pamiršiu sudėtingai išversti, gerai? Po vieną momentą.
First point, that she is thankful that we are using Sanskrit language, because we know that Lithuanian language also comes from Sanskrit. And her point is that there is difference between Christianity and Vedic philosophy, that in Vedic philosophy there is no such things as hell or
paradise.
There is only God and souls. So this is the difference between.
I would suggest that you study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam very clearly describes, and if you in the fifth canto, the Bhagavatam gives vivid descriptions of the hellish planets, very vivid descriptions. You haven't studied the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, obviously.
So she's repeating that in Christianity, there is belief that downstairs there is hell and upstairs there is heaven.
Yes, we agree with that. There are the heavenly planets above and the hellish planets below, and the earth is in the middle. And then beyond this entire material universe, there is the world where the, even beyond heaven, there is a higher world, and that world we are telling you how to go to. There's the heavenly planets and the hellish planets, but through chanting Hare Krishna, you can achieve the Vaikuntha realm, which is higher than heaven even. Wait. Let him translate it. No, wait.
Vedinė filosofija teigia, kad yra ir pragaras, yra žemė, yra ir rojus, bet taip pat yra dar slaptingesnis dvasinis pasaulis anapus šių pasaulių.
Okay, anybody have, I ask for questions. Anybody have a question?
Mes norim paklausti konkrečių klausimų, ar kas nors...
Yes. No, I'm recognizing him now. I'm recognizing this person now. This person is recognized. Okay, here's your turn.
Klausimas yra, kodėl yra sukurtas materialus pasaulis? Štai yra Dievo kūrinyje, kam Dievui reikėjo sukurti materialų pasaulį? Question is, why God creates this material world? What is the need for this world?
Actually, there's no need for the material world. It's like there's no need to have prisons either. If everyone is law-abiding citizen, there's no need for a prison. You think the government wants to build prisons? It's a big expense for the government. The government would rather have no prisons. And because some citizens insist on breaking the law, the government is forced to make prison. So God doesn't want, actually there should be a material world. But if some of the living entities are stubbornly saying, no, we want to live independently from God's laws and do our own thing. What God can do, He has to give some place for them to go.
The life with God is like so blissful, so full of knowledge and everything. Why can so like have this intention to live in material world? It makes no sense.
Geriau klausimus užduokit lietuviškai, nes mokytas prastai girdė. Aš išversiu dabar į lietuvių kalbą. Jeigu dvasinis pasaulis yra pilnas palaimos, tai kokia prasmė, kodėl kažkokios sielos nori ateiti į materialų pasaulį? Toks yra klausimas.
Taip, kaip susikūrė materialus pasaulis, kad Krishna nori
If spiritual world is so blissful, so why some souls want to come here?
It doesn't make much sense, does it? Who would want to leave a wonderful paradise and go to a hellish nightmare? It doesn't make sense. This is like that little boy. His mother Tell them, my dear son, do not stick your... They had a gas stove in the kitchen.
So
the mother always warned the little boy. He said, my dear Carlos, please do not stick your hand in the fire, it will burn. So she always told little Carlos, don't do that, you see. But he was always wondering, I wonder whether... My mother says I shouldn't stick my hand in the fire, but it looks so beautiful. So he was waiting for his chance. One day the mother walked out of the kitchen and the stove was on, the fire was burning. He looked to make sure his mother was not coming back into the kitchen. Then he stuck his hand up there to see what it was like. Started crying. His mother came running. What did you do, Carlos? You stuck your hand in the fire. I told you not to do that. There's a saying in English, curiosity killed the cat. So it's a fact that this material world is, I mean, it's a hellish place, let's face it. You gotta get sick, you gotta get old, you gotta die birth after birth after birth. It doesn't make sense to come here. But out of the unlimited number of living entities in the spiritual world where there's complete freedom to love God or to leave God, there's always that possibility that somebody could misuse that free will. And if you do, you end up here. And Krishna or his representative then tells you how to get back. So it's not that God has abandoned us. We wanted to stick our hand in the fire, and he gave us the freedom to try it, so we would, because we didn't believe him that it was bad. We wanted to see for ourselves. And now we've gotten burned. Hopefully, we learn our lesson now. See, the mother gave little Carlos very good instruction. Don't do that, Carlos. It'll burn. You will be very unhappy. It'll hurt. Don't do it. But he just was so curious. He wanted to know for himself without being told, you see. So in the same way, some living entities in the spirit, a very, very small, an infinitesimal fraction of living entities in the spiritual world want to actually try being independent of God to see what it's like. Just like little Carlos. So now we've stuck our hand in the fire now. Hopefully we've learned our lesson. Next question. No, you're not. No. Question, yes.
What do it mean that we are souls? What is the result of this idea? What do it mean that we are souls, spiritual souls? What is the result of this idea?
Конечно, как мы сами силос, и каков результат еще сидит? What does it mean that we are souls, and what is the result from this idea?
What does it mean that we are souls, and then?
What is the result from this idea?
The result of?
Of this idea.
Of this idea. What does it mean that we are souls, and what you're a soul means that you have an identity beyond this material body. It means that God is manifesting you as an eternal spiritual being to have a loving relationship with Him. So God, we are called, the living entities are called in the Sanskrit literatures as separated expansions of God. So actually you, my dear sir, are an expansion of God. You are a separated expansion of God. He separated you from himself as an individual living being so you can enjoy he can have a loving relationship with you. That's why you exist. So if you develop your love for God, then you will feel satisfied in life. Because just as a fish is meant to be in the water, you are meant to have a loving relationship with God. And if you don't do that, well, you're a fish out of the water, flopping around in the sand in a miserable condition. Any other question? Yes.
Jeigu Dievas žinojo, kad žmonės gali susižeisti, tai kam jis įsikūrė tokius dalykus, pavyzdžiui, ugnį? If God knows that we can damage ourselves, why he create such things as example like fire that can make damage to us? So why God makes such things?
Fire is there. Fire has a good purpose and a bad purpose. Do you eat cooked food? Or do you eat raw food? You eat both, don't you? You have raw food and cooked food. What if you couldn't ever have any more cooked food? You wouldn't like that, would you? You'd eat only raw food from now on. So just as fire has a positive use and a negative use, if it's used properly, it's a very good thing. For cooking your dinner. So, God has given us free will. If it's properly used, it's a very good thing. Free will means we can love God. As an individual, we can freely choose to love God. And if we misuse it, then it's not a good thing. If he didn't have free will, you wouldn't even exist as an individual. So why God has created living entities who have free will? That's the real question. Do you like being alone? You like to be with your family and your brothers and your mother and your father, right? So that tendency that you have to want to be in the association of others, that tendency, that nature is in God also.
Taigi ta tendencija, kurią jūs turit būti su kitais, tą pačią tendenciją turi ir Dievas.
God wants to have people around him.
Dievas nori su kažkuo tai bendrauti, kad kažkas aplink.
That's why he has created all of us.
Todėl mus visus ir sukūrė.
So he can have someone to associate with.
Kad turėtų su kuo bendrauti.
But that individual existence means we have a free will to choose to love God or to leave God.
Ir kiekvienas tas individas, jis turi visišką laisvę pasirinkti ar
So that's the answer to your question. I don't know if you fully understand it, but that actually is the perfect answer for your question. Does it make sense to you what I said? You see? Okay. Any other questions?
Krikščioniškam pasaulyje mes turim mirti per nuopolį žmonių. Atėjo mirtis, kad mes padarėm nuodėmę, išdavėm Dievą, mes patys nuo jo nusisukom. Ir jeigu žmogus, kaip sako, yra vientisas žmogus, aš kaip medikė sakau, kas siela ir kūnas vientisas žmogus. Jeigu žmogus nesirūpina savo kūnu dažniausiai, mes esam iš pat pradžių prie gimties esam kūniški. Nuo pat pradžių, jeigu mes pasirinkam tik tai kūną, tai mes ir turim kūną. O jeigu pasirinkam Dievą, tai mes šiandien turim tą pasirinkimą. Jeigu siela, kai sako, išeina, tai ne kažkur tai persikūnė, prototipas net gimsta. Mes šiandien turim pasirinkimą bendrauti su Dievu, ar mes su juo nusisuka. Prototipas tai net gimsta. Mes žmogus, kai numiršta, tai kitas žmogus gimsta. Reiškia, tai Dievas duoda kitą sielą. Aš taip suprantu, ne tą, kad kažkokią tai sielą persikūnė. Žmogus yra vienas, neatskiriamas nuo sielos. Jisai miršta, aš taip skaitau kartu, tas pats žmogus. Kūnas ir siela, jie, kaip pasakyti, jeigu žmogus nesirūpina, kūnas tai nesirūpina, tuo labiau nesirūpins sielą.
Aš supratau, yra pas jūs du momentai. Pirmas momentas, kad mes turime rūpintis savo santykį su Dievu dabar, o ne laukti mirties. Ir kitas momentas, kad kai mes numirštame ir persikūnėme, tai jau atgimsta kita siela kitame kūne, o ne mes patys. Čia yra du momentai ir aš dabar paklausiu. There is two moments, two questions. One thing that should we take care of our spiritual relationship with God right now, not wait till the death?
All right, let me take that first question. The question is, should we do it now or should we wait till death? When is death going to come? Do you have a schedule for yours? Do you know when it's going to come?
No one knows.
That's right. It could come at any second, couldn't it? Especially in the modern day world, it's pretty dangerous these days. Automobile accidents, robberies, terrorist attacks. You never know. You never know when death's going to come. Heart attacks, slipping on the stairs. Even a banana peel can kill you. You can slip on the stairs and hit your head and die on going down the stairs. So the point is, we have to be prepared at the time of death, to remember God at the time of death. That's the point. But we don't know when death will come, but we should always remember God. And another point is this. Whatever you think about during your life, that is what you will naturally think about at the time of death. So therefore you should train yourself now by always remembering God every day. So when death comes, you'll be prepared. One time one of my godbrothers, he wanted to test me. I was doing some japa meditation early in the morning, circumambulating the temple. Like at 3:30 in the morning. And he jumped out from behind the corner and yelled and screamed at me like he was going to kill me or something. Just to see what I would do when danger attacked. And I immediately said, Hare Krishna. He said, oh, you passed the test. So in this way, we have to be prepared. We should be always training ourselves to remember God. So when death comes, we're ready. Death is the final exam for life. Just like you take a university course, you have to be prepared for the final exam. So this university course called Life 101 has a very unusual style of final exam. This is not a scheduled exam, it's a pop quiz. At any moment, the final exam will come. It'll be popped on you at any moment, you least expect it. Therefore, always chant the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or any name according to your scripture. Make it a practice to chant the names of God. In this way, when death comes, you pass the exam. Now, that was an excellent question. I appreciate that very much. Now, what is your second question?
When we change our bodies, then different soul comes to different soul. When we change our bodies, then not me, but different soul come to another body.
No, the soul remains the same. Just like today you may drive a Ford, tomorrow you may drive a Mercedes, but it's still the same driver. Now you're in a woman's body. In your next life you may be in a man's body.
You see?
The soul is the same, but the body is different. But if you remember God at the time of death, then you don't get another material body that's subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. If you remember God at the time of death, you will get an eternally youthful body which never dies. And never get sick. So train yourself now. Train yourself well. Pass the exam. Get yourself an eternal spiritual body upon leaving this body. This is the training that we give our disciples. So if you would like to learn how to do this, we request that you become our disciple also. And we request everyone, we have a very limited supply, we only have 15 copies. And there's many more than 15 of you here. When this lecture ends, there's a book table in the back. These particular books, they are called the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's two different cantos of the same book. These are Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody who gets one of these books tonight, you can bring it up to me. I will give you your own personal written blessing in the book. And there's only 15 copies. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. But don't stampede the book table. We don't want anybody to get injured. Don't make a stampede. We don't want anybody to be injured. Peacefully go to the book table. So are there any other questions? Okay, now we'll stop and we'll open up the book table in the back. Thank you very much. Achyu Lavai.